Father, in the remaining moments, I pray Your Spirit would be poured out in a special way, so that the brief but yet powerful points that You want shared with us today will come clear as crystal to hearts and minds that are open and receptive, and that You will keep Satan and his evil spirits away from interrupting or distracting, so that we can hear and see Jesus. Lord, use me in spite of me. And thank You for hearing this prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it was a new situation to me as a fairly new convert going to the seminary in Andrews University, Berrien Springs, Michigan. And a friend invited me to go and speak at his church in Gary, Indiana. And I drove from Berrien Springs, Michigan early in the morning down to Gary, Indiana to preach my sermon as a seminarian preparing for the ministry. And I got there to the church, and when it was all over, one of the church members came up to me and said, "Pastor, I want you to come over to my house to eat." And of course, I said yes. I was hungry, Jenny. You weren't there. And I was young, and I wanted to eat. So I said, okay, you know. And so and the Lord really blessed the service, and I was excited. We get home. I didn't know that this lady was a fairly well-known lady in the community of Hammond, Indiana, because her husband was the police chief. I didn't know that. And so when I got to the house, it was a very nice house. And it was, the table was set just miraculously, beautifully set. And there was a head spot at that table. And I was sure that the husband, who is the chief of police of Hammond, Indiana, is going to sit there. And I was surprised and even shocked when she said, "No, Pastor, that's for you." Now, folks, I want you to hear me loud and clear. When she said that, I looked at that spot and I thought, I'm a pastor. I'm dressed really nice. I wonder if the mayor of the town is going to be here. And I sat down there, you know, and I was eating and they were all talking to me. I began to feel more important. And when the afternoon was over and it was time for me to get in my car and drive home, I want you to know the Lord really spoke to my heart. Because I actually experienced some feelings, pride and arrogance in that house I'd never experienced before. And I started to think that being in the community of such intellectual giants as found at Andrews University, I was gravitating to the pure and to the well-dressed and the intelligent and to the good-looking and to the educated. And I was sort of looking down on anybody who was different than that. And I'd never been like that before. I don't know if you even identify with this story, but I want you to know that was an eye-opener to me at how easily pride can get a hold of your heart and make you feel more important than you really are. And I want to share with you today the lesson I learned, the lesson to take home with us to encourage everyone here today, which is the first part in a five-part series called Hide and Seek. And today is Eating with Sinners. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now, I know you know Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke, the 15th chapter. You have your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles. Children, I hope you have your Bibles. I want you to turn to Luke. There's just two verses we're going to look at, but I want you to see these two verses. We're going to plumb the depth. By the way, do you also have the insert in your church bulletin? Get out your insert right now. The one that says at the top, hide and seek, part one, eating with sinners. Do you have that? Look at what it says here. I tell you, this is so encouraging, folks. In the very first verse, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And then verse 13, verse 3 clearly states, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, now you all know the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. But did you ever connect that these beautiful parables actually are in response to this circumstance that was just introduced to us in verse 1, 2, and 3. It says here clearly in the Bible, then drew near unto him all the publicans, and the way it's written in the Greek, all the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now we want to impact this text on our lives and see what this has to do, especially with my opening illustration. So let's look first at the word publican. Even though you have a general knowledge, did you know a publican was a tax farmer? Have you ever heard that before? That's what it says in the Greek, a tax farmer. That is, collector of public taxes. Do you understand? They were violently hated by the Jewish elders, leaders, scribes, Pharisees. These were actual turncoats, folks. These were individuals that were members of their own community, but sided with the Romans in order to make money. And so the Bible clearly states that these hated, despised individuals drew near to Jesus to hear him. Well, there's another one there. It says sinners. And I don't think that takes too much definition, right? A sinner is someone who is sinful, that is, sinner. And I added this, wasn't in the Greek, the bad people, okay? They're the bad people. So, who is it that drew near to him? These publicans and these sinners. But let's look at this. Why did they draw near to him? Give me the answer. To hear him. By the way, I hope you're filling out your little paper. Filling it out with these answers. I put them up there so you can fill them in and go home with them. Folks, I want you to know these despised individuals looked down upon by the religious leaders. You know, the pastors that were feeling important and self-sufficient and thinking, oh, you know, somebody else deal with them. I don't want to come close to them. They might touch me and they're polluted. These people drew near to Jesus. They wanted to hear him. That tells you something about Jesus, doesn't it? Well, let's go to the next verse and put it all together. For notice, the next verse clearly says, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. Now, I want you to see the word murmur. Because it doesn't just mean, that literal Greek word is different from the, it literally means what? To complain throughout the crowd. I mean, this was just throughout the crowd. Imagine the religious leaders spread themselves out throughout the crowd so that they could infect all the people around them. Well, look at him. Look at him hanging around those people that are so sinful and can you imagine that? And you know, somebody nearby is saying, I've listened to Jesus and when he speaks, it's just wonderful. But these are the religious leaders and they are saying that this is terrible what he's doing. By the way, you do know by your actions, your thoughts, your words, you affect other people. This was an intentional effort on the part of the religious leaders to discredit Jesus. But I don't want you to listen to them. I want you to remember these individuals, why they were there, and who they came to. So they murmured to complain throughout the entire crowd. Receiveth, to admit, to intercourse, hospitality, credence. Ah, he receives them. He is hospitable to them. He is respectful to them. He pays attention to them. No wonder they were drawing near to Jesus. Because in spite of the fact that they could give him no kinds of political capital whatsoever, he would gravitate and he would mingle with these people. Now I'm almost done. All of a sudden at this point I said, you know, Lord, I'm glad that in that incident that occurred at Hammond, you helped me to remember that I'm a publican and I'm a sinner. I am not a Pharisee and I am not a scribe like we read here. And then I saw clearly that Jesus draws near to the publican. He draws near to the sinner. He draws near to the hurting. He draws near to the lonely. He draws near to the depressed. He draws near to the despondent. He draws near to those who feel destroyed, let down, betrayed. He draws to them. Why? Because they are the ones that he identifies with and wants to encourage them. And he is not there to promote himself. Oh, if you could have sat in the seat that I sat in Hammond, Indiana. To promote self. That's what the Pharisees were up to. That's what the scribes were up to. That's what the religious leaders were up to. That's what all the philosophers and the theologians and the lawyers were up to. But Jesus drew near to the publicans and sinners. I hope that you understand, even if you want to deny it, you and I are a publican and a sinner. And I say hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus draws near to them. He receives them. He's hospitable to them. He pays attention to them. And then in my Italian life, to say, come over to my house and eat is the highest compliment you can pay to someone. And they go, oh, this man receives publicans and sinners and even eats food with them. And I thought, I've been there. I've done that. I know what that's like. And you know what? I want to be like Jesus instead of like me. And I want to recognize how he draws near to people like me who fall short, who make mistakes, who deal with issues. Whether you're lonely, depressed, tired, your relationships, your children, he draws near, he receives them. He says, let's sit down and talk over some bread together. And so check this out. Who did the murmuring? The scribes and the Pharisees. And who did the receiving? What answer are you going to put there? So you can put Jesus there, but that's not what they said. What did they say in the Bible? They said, this man. Did you catch that? This man. They couldn't even say Jesus. They go, this man. Purposely a derogatory term towards him. And by the way, when we get to the parable of the lost son who comes home, do you remember what the brother who didn't leave, the prodigal son's brother, do you remember how he referred to his brother? This son of yours. Have you ever referred to your brother or sister like that to your parents? This sister of yours. Denying total relationship. I'm thankful that this man receives sinners and eats with them. And I want to know if any of you are struggling with anything today. Even if the facade on the outside looks really good and clean and just perfect, I want you to know Jesus is there for you. Jesus is there to comfort and cheer just when we need Him most. And that's why we see people baptized and making a commitment like this. And believe me, I don't want to, what do you call it, kill a dead horse, but you know, like Jorge and Janelle are so inspiring to me. Because it costs them. See, when we get older, it doesn't cost as much to get baptized. But when you're young and all your peers are there and they don't understand a lick of this and you're making major decisions that changes many different things, the things you say, the things you wear, the things you do. Here's the motivation right here. This is why we do it, because this man receives sinners and he'll sit down and eat with them. He really cares about them. In fact, let's look at Exodus. In closing, I want you to look at Exodus 34, 6 and 7. In closing, I want to share one last thought with you that I want to carry you to carry with you forever. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And we're going to go back into Moses. This is when Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock and Jesus passed by him. So you see, here's the connection between this man receives sinners and eats with them. Moses is hidden in the cleft of the rock. He says, you can't look upon my glory. I'll put my hand over you. But as I pass by, I'm going to give you my name. And so notice you have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I there. We're going to write down God's name. And what does it say? It says, and the Lord passed by before Moses proclaiming, the Lord God, A, what? Merciful. And B, what? Gracious. And C, what? Long-suffering. And D, what? Abundant in goodness. E, and truth. Verse 7. F, keeping mercy for thousands. And by the way, I got to tell you something. That isn't 1,000 years. You study the context of this Hebrew text and you will find out that he's referring to generations. Keeping mercy for thousands of generations. Come on, somebody, hallelujah, that we have that kind of God. And then it says, G, forgiving iniquity, H, transgressions, and I, sin. That covers it all. I'll tell you, in the Old Testament, God gave us His name. This is Jesus who passed by. Jesus is the one throughout the Old and the New Testament that interacted with man. This wasn't God the Father in the Old Testament. Or how could Jesus said, no one has seen the Father but the one, but the Son who had been there. And so this is Jesus' name, along with the Father. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, goodness, truth, mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, sins, hallelujah. This man received sinners, and he eats with them. That's why we get baptized. That's why we're Seventh-day Adventists. That's why we give up things that we like and want and turn our backs on, even though some don't. Because of the kind of God we have. Well, I want to show you one last thing about this gracious. Gracious. It comes from a Hebrew word meaning properly. Are you ready for this? God is gracious. What does that mean? To bend or stoop in kindness to a what? Inferior. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. And I go, thank you, Jesus. Help me not to ever get self-important that I don't remember that the description and character of my Savior Jesus Christ is bending and stooping in kindness to inferiors. What is Jesus like? You feel that in for yourself. I hope He takes on a different form for you today. I hope He takes on a different character or characteristic for you today. That was the intention of all of this. It is astounding that the Creator of the universe, who already died on Calvary's cross for my foolish rebellion, continues to stoop in kindness in spite of the fact that I am inferior. I commend to you this man. Father in heaven, I just pray that as we close this service, that you would help no one allow anyone here to have any doubts of your loving commitment to them, no matter what circumstance they're in. I want you to put your arm around every single person in this service right now as a sign of assurance. I'm here, I care, and I will help you through this, endure this, strength to deal with it, whatever the case may be. And that we would be a church that stands up faithful to you and with all our might fight the struggle of being self-important instead of stooping in kindness to inferiors the way you did for us. Pour out your Spirit on this congregation. And Lord, may there be decisions for baptism. As I stand up here at the end of this service and the prayer warriors stand up here, I pray you send individuals forward that say, yes, I want to look into baptism. I want to start studies or I want to set a date or whatever the case may be. Lord, don't let anybody leave here without making a decision. Whether it has to do with the topic at hand, Father, or something else that you need to accomplish with each one. Blessed to this end, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.